This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us on this Sunday morning. Jason Laidler here with the world-famous Ted Walshin. We're here every Sunday to talk about probate stuff and how to avoid probate stuff. How are you this morning, Ted?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you very much.
Good. Anything exciting going on in Ted's world lately?
Exciting? No.
Okay. Well, sometimes
I could make something up if you wanted, but that doesn't make sense.
Are you familiar with the Orangemen at all, Ted? Have you had any?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Have you ever attended an Orange Lodge or seen one?
No.
They're few and far between, I think, these days. I think they used to be more popular about 100 years ago. Anyway, the reason I mentioned to bring that up Wednesday is the glorious 12th. And some of our listeners with British backgrounds, maybe in particular Irish, should know what that means. The Glorious 12th, also called Orangemen's Day. And I think I've known a few Orangemen in my life, but I have never been involved with that particular lodge. I'm more familiar with other types of Masonic lodges. But I've got a quick definition here of The Glorious 12th. I just pulled it off of Wikipedia, of course. Says it's an Ulster Protestant celebration held on the 12th of July. It began in the late 18th century in Ulster. It celebrates the Glorious Revolution, 1688, and victory of Protestant King William of Orange over Catholic King James II at the Battle of the Boyne in 1690, quite a few years ago, Ted, which ensured a Protestant ascendancy in Ireland. On and around the 12th, large parades are held by the Orange Order and Ulster Loyalist marching bands. Streets are blocked and bedecked with British flags and bunting. Large towering bonfires are lit in Loyalist neighborhoods. Today, the 12th is mainly celebrated in Northern Ireland, where it is a public holiday, but smaller celebrations are held in other countries where Orange lodges have been set up.
I know that the Protestants and Catholics clashed in the streets of Toronto years and years ago in this regard.
I remember
that history.
And because of that, they canceled the parade a few times. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's going to be a parade in Toronto this week.
I don't know.
I might have to look for that.
There's a parade in Toronto every day, it seems, if you try to drive into Toronto.
Yes, driving in Toronto, very challenging.
Yeah, it is indeed.
I can say, luckily, our listenership is broad because of the signal from Zoomer Radio. And when we're going out to meet with clients and potential clients, because we do provide no-charge consultations, often it's not, in the city proper. It's outside the city. It's a big area. I was in Tilsonburg recently, Millgrove recently, Guelph. These places, they're beautiful towns to drive to and around, especially if you take the back roads, which I try to do. I try to stay off the highway. It's the highway's not fun, but you take some back roads. It takes a little bit longer.
The back roads are a lot more interesting as well because you run into your local farms and have little stands outside and you get fresh eggs and vegetables and fruits and stuff, right?
I did that the other day. Last week, I was taking these back roads. Sometimes I just turn the GPS off. Because especially when I'm coming home, getting to the meeting, I don't want to be late and I don't know exactly where it is. Getting home, I don't care if I meander a little bit, right? And I did that coming home from someplace out near south of Guelph somewhere, I forget now. And I stumbled across this bakery. It was in the middle of nowhere. So I thought, okay, that's cool. And it was only open like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it happened to be one of those days. And I stopped and I went in. And I got over $100 of baked goods because I just couldn't say no to the fresh bread, the fresh buns, the tarts, the this, the that. Meat pies. I love a good meat pie.
So do I.
Yeah. So they don't see them very often. So I thought this is a great little bonus and came home with all this stuff. They're like, what are you doing? Anyway, it was delicious, needless to say. So you find these little treats.
Yeah, you do.
I love it in the little towns that you drive through. So, yeah, we come to you. Having said that, we should point out, you know, when we have these no-charge consultations, to talk about the details, we're going to get into it in the hour here, of course. Not right now in this first segment, but when we do book no-charge consultations so that we can dive deeper and look at your particular situation and give you better advice based on your particular situation. Most of the time, we're coming to you. We're happy to do that. Like I said, no matter where it is around the southern part of the province or central part of the province even, that's fine. Usually works better that way. But if people insist on meeting in the office, that's an option. And I bring that up because it just happened. It happens very rarely. But whatever, for whatever reason, I didn't actually book the meeting. Somebody else on the team did. And just let me know, yeah, this meeting's in the office. The office is in North York. I'm hardly ever there because we're so busy on the road. So, but that's fine. It was fun to get in there and see some of the other colleagues and stuff and say hi and get some paperwork. And it was fine. But that's an option too. Meeting at the office in North York is an option if you'd rather do that for the initial meeting. Some people just feel more comfortable not having us come to their home for at least that initial meeting. So just want the listeners to know that is an option.
But it's you, generally speaking, from what I've learned from you, is it's generally speaking, it's easier for you to go to somebody's house because you're inevitably asking for some paperwork. And if the paperwork is in the home, and yeah, chances are they haven't brought all the paperwork that you need.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe photo ID, or sometimes we need a void check, which is another form of ID that gets used. It's the regulators who make these requirements, not Jason Layler and not avoidprobate.ca. The regulators determine what we need for, or what will pass for legit ID and things like that. So yeah, you're right. Plus, I'm assuming people are more comfortable in their home than they are driving to North York and sitting in, you know, what you could call a sterile. I mean, it's not terrible. There's some decor, but you know, it is still an office space and parking and all that stuff. But yeah. Anyway, what else we got coming up on the Avoid Probate Show this week, Ted?
Well, coming up on the program, when the bank says you don't need probate and the lawyer says otherwise, what do you do then? Mm-hmm. Also, a real life death benefit top up. And of course, Debbie Stanley from the aforementioned ETP Canada will join us as we continue solving the probate puzzle. This is file number two now. So with that and mailbag and, well, who knows what else could pop up.
Lots of stuff. We better take our first break and get to it so we can cram it all in. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walsh and Jason Laidler. And, of course, we invite you to send us your questions and your comments, or you can call us either way. If you care to call, the number is 1-844-667-7628, 1-844-667-7628. And if you care to email us, that address is info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. And again, the phone number, I will repeat it, 1-844-667-7628. And it is time for our weekly installment of Solving the Probate Puzzle with Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, Debbie. Ted. Hello, Jason. How are you?
We're good. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Everyone had a great long weekend and beginning of the summer months.
Yeah, for sure.
Hot week last week.
Boy, yes.
The middle of last week, Wednesday, was a scorcher, huh?
Yes, yes. Very warm.
Yeah.
I'm glad I have one of those above ground pools. I will be utilizing it all summer long.
Later today.
Yes, yes, exactly.
For the beverage.
Right.
It's got a cup holder, right, Debbie?
Of course, of course.
So how are we doing with our latest file, Roxy Moo, we've named this file.
Yes, yes. So Roxy Moo, the estate, pretty much has just begun. If our listeners would like a little recap, the client passed away at the end of May, and we have a condo, some collector's items, some investments, and an online bank that I have never dealt with before. So that's the little tricky part. We are currently trying to clean up the condo. Actually, one of our listeners called me on one of the days we were emptying the apartment, and they got quite a kick out of it, saying, you know, I heard you talking about it on the weekend, and here you are actually doing it. So yes, I do in fact empty the apartments and the drawers for our listeners. So we're trying to get that ready for sale. But of course, we do have to apply for probate before we can actually sell the condo and exchange keys, if everyone remembers with Mr. Chip's file. The probate certificate does need to be obtained. So we have this small hurdle with the online bank because we can't get any information right now. So we've decided to move forward with the probate application anyway, and then file an amendment afterwards once we know about the bank and what the balance is in there, and then pay the additional estate administration tax. Now, part of the probate application process is to prepare a whole bunch of paperwork, and we've talked about this before, but there's packages that go out to the beneficiaries. So in Canada, it's very anticlimactic on how beneficiaries find out that they're a beneficiary. In the movies, there's a reading of the will and people faint, and you know, it's a lot more dramatic. But here in Canada, a package is mailed out to the beneficiaries to notify them that they will be receiving under the will, and that the executor is going to be the executor. So that's what our task is this week. We're preparing those packages so that the beneficiaries will receive them in the mail. As a reminder, we have two beneficiaries. One is in the UK and one is in Florida, and they already are aware because it is the children. But sometimes the beneficiaries, they have no idea who we are, right? So it's the first bit of interaction that they're getting from us as the executor, and they didn't even know they were set to inherit anything. Sure. A lot of times people are surprised. Oh, I can't believe that I've been named in the will. So this will be our first formal package, but not our first interaction with these particular beneficiaries.
So I have a question about that. Is it not the case? So, you know, the niece is a beneficiary, hypothetically speaking. Are you not required to provide that beneficiary with at least the portion of the will that names them as a beneficiary? Not necessarily the whole will, but the portion of it that names them?
It depends on the type of beneficiary they are. So I'm going to use some formal terminology and then clarify it. So there are what is called legacy beneficiaries, and those beneficiaries are the people who are going to receive perhaps a diamond ring or $10,000 cash, a specific amount or thing. And then there's what's called residual beneficiaries, and those beneficiaries are the people who will receive the whole kit and caboodle at the end of the estate. So they're getting whatever is left over after paying bills, depending on the percentage or portion that has been assigned to them. So that legacy beneficiary, the person who's set to receive a thing or a specific amount, they get only the portion that names them. So whatever page they're on, they get that particular page. Where the residual beneficiary, the people who are entitled to everything of the estate after payments, they're entitled to the entire will because they are privy to all of those details.
Right. And that's for accounting purposes, right? To keep everybody, you know, on the level, so to speak, because if you said, hey, I'm acting as the professional executor for this estate, and surprise, you were entitled to receive $10,000 and you didn't know it, but here you go. Have a nice day. How do they know they weren't supposed to get $30,000?
Exactly. So a lot of people will ask us when we're interviewed to be an executor for someone is, how do we know you're not going to just run away, go to Mexico and sit on the beach? Which is fair. I mean, honestly, it's a fair question. Who's watching over what I do? But the answer is the beneficiaries are. because right. they're my bosses. At the end of the day, I have to account for everything I did, every last penny, every little expense, every deposit. You have to keep copies of invoices and deposits and how you sold things. And you show them to the beneficiaries, the residual beneficiaries, because they're the ones who ultimately sign off on the job you did. So you can't just run off to Mexico because you do have bosses. A lot of people think an executor is the boss, but they're not. They're the CEO. They're running a company, but they have bosses.
The great analogy. Well explained. That's going to be helpful for our listeners for sure. Okay. I think what we should do here, it's unusual for us to jump to the mailbag. We normally do the mailbag at the end of the show, the end of the hour here on the Avoid Probate Show. And if you're just joining us, it is the Avoid Probate Show with Jason, Ted, and Debbie Stanley. Thanks you for joining us. I think the question, or actually it's an email that we were going to share at the end of the show in the mailbag, might be a good time to share this now, Ted, given the topic and what the report that Debbie's just shared with her update. What do you think? Can we do that now, Debbie?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Ted, you've got that email there?
I do.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon, Jason. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions. How will I be notified when the estate is settled? Will I be contacted by the lawyer, and parenthetically, I don't know who this is, or the executor? The reason I ask is several months ago, I got an email from Canada Post, and she has that parenthetically, I don't remember the exact wording she writes, but I thought it was a scam and deleted it, because why would Canada Post have an email? And if it was a registered letter, wouldn't they have left a note on my door? So now I'm not sure if it was legit or not. Once again, thanks for your time. And I said she, because I, for some reason, think it's a woman.
I think it is, too. And it does. I should, just before you answer, Debbie, it says I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question, because we've already traded a couple emails. And that's what she's referring to when she says that we answered a couple of her questions already. But now she's got this question, which is perfect for Debbie. So, Debbie, how do beneficiaries, like you said, especially if it's a surprise, mm-hmm. you know, how do they know? What's the reporting?
Right. So if we go back to even Roxy Muse estate, we're notifying the beneficiaries by sending them a package. So that's the first touch point. A beneficiary will receive this package in the mail, which states that they are a beneficiary, either a copy of the page that they're named in and or the whole entire will. So that's the starting process. From there, the executor is supposed to keep beneficiaries apprised of the events that are happening throughout the estate administration. This can happen multiple times or maybe once a year, but essentially think of it as accounting statements, just like a company has financial statements every year. That's what's sent out to beneficiaries as well. And if this particular listener is a residual beneficiary, a person receiving the whole kit and caboodle, then they would be receiving these financial statements. So let's say, for sake of argument, just quickly, this person is a legacy beneficiary and they were just getting a check for $5,000. Once they get their $5,000, it's over. There's no more for them to find out about. It's just the $5,000 and they move on. But if they're the residual beneficiary and they're going to get whatever's left in the estate, it's ongoing communications. So they may receive accounting statements every 6 months. They may get it once a year, but it doesn't just end. So if you haven't received a final set of package where it's like, here's what we're down to, this is the final amount in the bank account, and here's your final check, please sign this paperwork, then you're likely not at the end. So it doesn't just, like I said, wrap up and end. It does have a wind down. So if you have $1 million in the bank, it's going to go down to 800,000, then 500,000. And it's right. going to keep going down until that final distribution.
So she asks, will I be contacted by the lawyer? She doesn't know who that is, or the executor. So I'm assuming she knows who the executor is. So why doesn't she just contact the executor?
Yeah, I think that it's worth reaching out to the executor. Sometimes when we sit back and we just start assuming or thinking maybe they will reach out to me, and the executors may be thinking they'll reach out to them, it just doesn't hurt to say, hey, executor, do you know when we're close to wrapping this up, or what stage are we at? It's a simple question. And, you know, it just gets that line of communication going. If the executor has hired the lawyer, then the package will likely come from the law firm. But they may not have hired a lawyer. They might be doing this all themselves, and the executor may not know that they didn't receive their package via Canada Post or whatnot. As to the email that they received, I'm not familiar with Canada Post emailing if something wasn't delivered.
I agree that she should have done what she did, which is delete it.
Yes.
I agree.
And if, for instance, if it was a real thing and it never gets delivered, the executor will know about it and they will re-deliver it. So I think she did absolutely the right thing. There's so many scams out there, but I've never heard of Canada Post sending an email like that.
No, but as my IT guy, Daniel, says to me all the time, Ted, if you see something you don't recognize who it's coming from, get rid of it.
Yes.
Because they're fishing.
Absolutely.
They're looking for you to answer just so they can add you onto their
data. Okay, Debbie, two quick follow-ups, Debbie. First of all, you just said it in passing. There may not be a lawyer involved in the big picture at all with regard to the settling the estate because, contrary to popular belief, you don't always need a lawyer to settle the estate, right? There's the professional executors out there like Debbie Stanley who can do this work sometimes, not always, but sometimes without using a lawyer at all, right? I get it. Sometimes you do need it for different things. But so there may be no lawyer to contact, but there should be an executor for sure. Second question, just again to clarify, kit and caboodle, is that a technical term? Kit and caboodle?
Yes, if you look it up.
Is that in your course, Debbie? Is that where you found this?
Yes. Okay. It is a technical term, and I'll trademark it.
is it a Navy term?
I don't know.
I actually have no idea. I don't even know why it came to me, but it it's what came out.
Okay, listeners, if there's any listeners out there who know the origin of kit and caboodle, please enlighten us.
Oh, no, it sounds like a made-up word.
It does sound very made up. All right. Great. Thanks for doing my work there with the mailbag this week, Debbie. Great answer. Good answer. I'm glad you were here to take on that question and explain how it works. So I hope that was clear. We do get these calls and questions from time to time. I think I'm supposed to be getting part of the estate. How do I know? The other thing, I guess I could run this by real quick before you go. It is an option, right? Once the estate is settled, we've talked about this before, the will is a public document and anybody can go to the courthouse and ask for a copy of the will. So if you think you were missed or overlooked, I mean, that's not going to happen, right? If the executor's doing their job properly. But if you just need one more piece of confirmation, go to the courthouse, ask for a copy of the will and read it yourself.
Yes. Yep. They are public documents, which is, sometimes something you want to consider when thinking about your estate planning, because maybe you want to avoid probate because of that too. It's not always about tax. It could be about privacy too.
That's right. One more good reason to avoid probate and call us at avoidprobate.ca so we can help you avoid that nasty probate stuff. And that's what we're here for. All right. Well, with that, I think we do need to take a break. That was a great segment. We'll have another update next week, I assume. And look forward to that. Thanks, Debbie. Oh, by the way, people can reach you directly.
Oh, yes. So they can reach us online, which is etpcanada.ca. Our email is info@etpcanada.ca. Our phone number is 866-309-0387. And we can't forget about our executor course, which I'm not entirely sure that kit and caboodle is in the verbiage there, but you can visit our executor course located at www.executorready.ca.
All right. Thanks, you have Debbie. A great week.
You too.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
We're going to step aside. We're back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners
figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the Bear Trust is set up? Tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a Bear Trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a Bear Trust is that the Bear Trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the Bear Trust agreement. And the Bear Trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a Bear Trust question in particular, any estate question, you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right, well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future, and we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Lather or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Hey, good morning. Once again, welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Wallison and Jason Laidler. And as usual, we'd like to remind you the information provided in this program is for general consumption only. It is not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different, and so if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert. And of course, we have licensed experts as part of our team, and you can contact them via email at info@avoidprobate. Avoidprobate is one word, info@avoidprobate.ca. And as we mentioned last week, please send us the questions, not the radio station the questions, because we can't guarantee that we'll get it if you send it to them. So send it to us. Yeah. info@avoidprobate.ca. Or you can call us. It's a toll-free number, 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And Jason's mom will answer the phone. And
hi, Mom.
Make sure you're polite to her.
Yes, of course. She's Scottish, and she needs people to be polite. Of course, we all do, right?
Yeah,
makes the world a better place. Yeah. So, okay, we were going to talk about a couple things here in this segment of the Avoid Probate Show. Thanks for joining us. If you're just tuning in, one thing we've seen happening, Ted, from time to time. It actually took me a little while to figure this out. What was going on here? I jumped to some conclusions they were wrong. I'm going to actually, we work with lawyers. We have lawyers on the Avoid Probate team, of course. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to be the person who redoes your will if that's what you're looking for. And that's a service. We get that question a lot. We go to the consultation with plans on avoiding probate by doing a transfer of the money that's at the bank today, because you cannot put a beneficiary on the non-registered money at the bank. That's a problem. That's a potential probate problem. So we want to move that money from the bank to an insurance company where the rules are different. And now we can name the kids or whoever it happens to be as beneficiaries on that account. And that is the very simple way of avoiding probate on that money. Yes, it's remarkably simple. People say to me, how come I've never heard this before? Is it legal? And I often say, well, I call it the best kept secret in the country, because the bank's not going to tell you to move your money, of course, right? They're competing for what's called assets under management. And this is why they're making multi-billion dollar quarterly profits.
Right.
Okay. So the insurance companies, by the way, I've seen this and are doing a fantastic job. And I'm going to spend a bit of time talking about just how amazing a job they're doing with some real examples here. The insurance companies are competing with the banks for those assets. And what's happened in one case recently, somebody passed away and the beneficiary reached out to me said, hey, Jason, you know, I've got some money. I need to do something with it. Existing client, actually. So that's common. Happy with the service, I guess. So that's great. That's what we like to see. We like repeat business and referrals, of course. And it was interesting because this person said, well, the bank has told me that the money's there for me to do as I please. Okay, that's great. That's what we like to hear. Good for the bank. Normally, you know, the bank can be a little bit more difficult to deal with. And usually it's the bank who's requiring the probate in the first place. I should just make sure that's clear. Like, if nobody asks for probate, you're fine. But usually it's the bank who's going to say, well, we're concerned about potential liability. And so even though, yes, you have a will, so you say, and yes, you're supposed to be the executor, so you say, we want you to take, you know, your paperwork to the province, or you know, i.e. using the services of somebody like Debbie Stanley, submit an application for probate, pay your pound of flesh, wait your 10 months or however long it's going to take for this to get processed, get your certificate, then come back, and then we'll talk about how we can settle this estate. That's the probate mess that we want to avoid if we can do it. And we can avoid it by using the insurance company. So the bank said, rarely, yep, it's yours. We're not worried about probate. Go ahead. And it was a sizable chunk of money too. It was a lot more than $10,000. And I just picked that number out of thin air. There's no particular meaning to that sum, $10,000. But the lawyer said, well, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. The lawyer said, I think we should deal with probate anyway. And at first I thought, oh, right, you know, typical, looking for some extra work, a make work project. You know, like being careful what I say, of course, not all lawyers are looking for make work projects, of course, but that's what I kind of assumed in the beginning. And then I realized what was happening here. It's very different. It's very interesting. See, we have to think back now. We've talked about this before on several different shows. This Supreme Court decision known as PCOR versus PCOR, or some people say PCOR versus PCOR. I don't know if it's a French thing or what. I don't know. PCOR versus PCOR is how I refer to it from 2007. This case went all the way to the Supreme Court, where there was a challenge over whose money it was at the bank, the joint account, and there was a fight, who gets the money. And what's happened here, what this created the concept of something called the resulting trust. Ted, you know, we've talked about this several times, this resulting trust. It still confuses people for sure. And the gist of it, I think I actually have a PCOR versus PCOR explanation here to share. The court held that in the absence of proof, the presumption of a resulting trust is a general rule for gratuitous transfers and the onus is placed on the transferee to show that a gift was intended. What does that mean? That means, Ted, I'm on my deathbed, and I put you on my account at the bank. I make you a joint owner because I want to avoid probate, and that's going to avoid probate if I have a joint owner on it. But I'm not explaining this very well. I put you on the account, but really it's meant to be shared with my other brothers and sisters. And I pass away, and you're like, woohoo! Jason made me, you know, the beneficiary. Well, not a bad term. Jason made me joint on the account, so the money's mine. Yeah, you might think that, and I can blame you for thinking that. But really, what the court has said is no, not true. The brothers and sisters are entitled to some of that money as part of a resulting trust. The trust resulted from me naming you as a joint owner. And in the absence of proof to the otherwise, if you cannot prove that I really wanted this to be a gift for Ted Walshin, and I wanted Ted to spend the money any way he wanted to spend it, you know, at his discretion, and not have to share it, Ted has to prove that. Well, you can't, because I made you joint on the account, but I did not leave evidence. I did not leave evidence in the form, in a written form. Mm-hmm. So the last sentence of this says, for there to be a valid gift, in other words, for it to be really a gift to Ted from Jason, in order for that to be valid to a single party, there must be evidence in writing to form a gift. So that's what's happening here. So somebody at the bank forgot. I'm going to assume they forgot about this landmark decision, PCOR versus PCOR, and said to my client, yep, the money's yours. No problem. Do what you want with it. But the lawyer, to the lawyer's credit, I don't know the lawyer. I don't know if it was a male or female. It doesn't matter. The lawyer said, no. We really need to be careful here because there is no proof in writing that it was intended to be a gift solely for your benefit. Therefore, according to the Supreme Court's decision, the resulting trust is the default situation, and there are siblings. And so therefore, it does need to be shared, and that's what we did. So in the end, it got handled properly. It got shared properly. Everything was legit, of course. We don't do anything that's not legit, of course. Not a good time of the year to get sued, Ted. So that's what happened. And that's why now I get it, and I can understand why, and the average person would be very confused to be getting mixed messages, one from the bank saying this and one from the lawyer saying something different. Mm-hmm. And what's the average person going to say? You know, they're going to be stuck in the middle and not know who's right and who's wrong.
If this individual was planning on giving parts of their estate to these other people, I'm assuming he didn't do it immediately because he didn't want to disperse his finances because he didn't know how long he was going to be around. So he might still need him, which is why he then appointed somebody on a joint account.
So that's a great point. Absolutely. But the flip side of that, Ted, is maybe they did want it to be a gift. But when I said, Ted, I want you to have this money, I'm putting it on the account, maybe that really was my intention. But by not providing proof to you, I messed it up. I did it wrong. And now you're forced to share it because of the resulting trust assumption, even if I really did want you to have it. But because there was no evidence, because the onus is on you, the survivor, the onus is on you to prove to the court, Jason wanted me to have this money. Well, did Jason leave you a note saying that or any other evidence you could submit? No, he didn't. Well, if Jason really wanted that, he didn't do it right. And we're not going to buy it. And we're going to make you share it, even if Jason wanted you to have it. Isn't that interesting? Like, how often is that happening where mom and dad or somebody really does want the favorite daughter, the favorite son to inherit the kingdom because they haven't talked to the other kids in 35 years or whatever? You know, we're dealing with one of those situations right now. That happens. And once again, remind the listeners, you don't believe the myths out there. You are not obligated or required to share your estate evenly amongst your children or anybody. You don't have to give anybody anything. You could leave the whole thing to the church or Mickey Mouse or whatever you want. It's entirely up to you. It's your money. And no, there are no inheritance maximums. That's another question we get from time to time. How much am I allowed to leave to my son? Well, whatever you want. It's your money. Mm-hmm. Right? So that resulting trust, I thought that was interesting because, you know, we don't see that I don't want to call it a conflict, but it was a vague situation at first, and it took us a few minutes to figure out what was going on there. Why is the bank not on the same page as the lawyer? Like, how does that happen? That doesn't happen very often. Anyway, normally, the other reason it doesn't happen very often is because it's very rare for the bank not to ask for probate in the first place. They're the first ones to jump all over it. Yeah, probate it. Even though the province of Ontario does not require probate fees to be paid on estates worth less than $50,000. I'll say that again. If the total value of the estate is less than $50,000 on the date of death, there's no probate payable to the province. The probate fee in Ontario is 1.5% of the value of the estate on the date of death. Well, I don't know. What's 1.5% of 50 grand? It doesn't matter because it's not owing. But even though it's not owing to the province, yes, the banks can still require probate. And that's what's got people losing their minds. You know, you got a checking account. All mom had, you know, to her name when she passed away was one checking account with $32,000 in it. That's it. And now the bank wants me to go through probate for that 32 grand, even though the province doesn't care and the province doesn't benefit. They don't get 10 cents out of it. In fact, you could almost say, and I haven't thought of it this way until just now, it's almost an abuse. Maybe abuse is too strong a word, Ted, but it's a court process. So maybe the province should be stepping in here and saying, hey, banks, stop wasting valuable court time on files or cases where the province isn't going to collect a fee.
Right.
Because the public purse is paying for these courts, the court services, the court clerks,
right?
All that paperwork and storage and processing. Those people aren't working for free. Of course, they're getting paid. And if the province isn't recovering any of that, like they would if the value of the estate was over 50 grand, okay, well, now the province is getting, you know, some tax revenue. They don't like to call it a tax, but probate can be considered a death tax. It's payable at death. So maybe that's something to think about writing to your MPP about, you know, why keep wasting valuable provincial court resources, i.e., you know, when the banks ask for probate, on files that are so small that the province doesn't recover any of the cost. We're trying to save money in this province, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we bankrupt? Aren't we over budget to the tune of...
The whole country is.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, so there you go. There's a cost savings measure, Mr. Premier and Attorney General. All right, well, I wanted to share one other story, one other concept today. It is the Avoid Probate Show. Again, thank you for joining us. If you're just tuning in, the other, we'll have to split this between this segment and the next one after we come back from the break. But I just want to touch on another event that's happened recently. We talked about so many of the advantages of dealing with the insurance company over the bank, avoiding probate, of course, being number one. And regular listeners will know one of the other advantages, which is huge, is this thing called a 100% death benefit guarantee. It's a capital guarantee. If you're under the age of 85 and you put $1 million into the investment, we've moved it from the bank, whatever bank it is, to whatever insurance company. We're independent advisors. We'll talk about that again in more detail at the at the consultation after you book it with us. We do the transfer. The $1 million goes into an investment portfolio that we're all comfortable with. You're comfortable with it. It's your money. We make the recommendations. The money's not locked in. The investment mix is not locked in, but you're going to get a 100% death benefit guarantee, which means if for some reason, you know, whatever, some global event, inflation spikes again, or the war in Europe turns uglier than it already is, whatever, some environmental disaster, whatever it is, the markets go down, your $1 million becomes 900 grand. That's not what we want to see, but this is a hypothetical situation, which obviously could happen.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the day you pass away, that's the day you get hit by a bus or whatever, you have the 100% death benefit guarantee, which means the insurance company is actually going to top up the shortfall and pay the full amount of your original investment. The full $1 million is going to get paid to your beneficiaries, even if it's only worth $900,000 on the day, even if it's only worth $500,000 on the day, it doesn't matter. Whatever it's short, however amount it's down from your original investment, the insurance company is going to make up that difference and pay the full amount to your beneficiaries. That is amazing. The banks don't do that. You would be down. Well, not you. Your beneficiaries would be out whatever the loss was, the 100 grand I used as my example, or the $500,000, if that was the case. They would be out and there'd be no recourse for it at all. It's something that helps you sleep at night knowing that your money's protected at the insurance company with this guarantee. There's a flip side to this guarantee. It gets even better. I'm going to talk about how it gets even better, and I'm going to talk about a real life, I don't like that term, an actual death claim where we are using the top up right now, as we speak. The paperwork is getting processed. I'll explain this in more detail when we get back right after this quick break.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
You know, June is birthday month at Tom's Place. We celebrate all month long. Tom's 67th birthday is June 7th. Annette's big day is June 9th. And finally, Tom Jr. celebrates on the 13th. Throw in Father's Day and Canada Day, and you've got a month-long party. We know how to celebrate with birthday deals like 100% wool suits from $167. Selected dress and casual pants, along with shirts, just $67. Sports jackets starting at $167. Plus, many more deals all month long. Don't just be a spectator. Get in on the fun. Join the party and head over to Tom's Place. They're located at 190 Baldwin in the heart of Kensington Market. Give yourself a present this June with a birthday deal on men's brand name business attire. The Tom's Place June birthday deals have been extended one more week. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of AvoidProbate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show, and we invite you to drop by our website. It's kind of cool, actually, www.avoidprobate.ca. You'll see all kinds of information there, and there's a free probate calculator. You can play with that and see roughly how much probate might be payable on your estate or your family's estate. And so you follow that. Now, again, this is approximately, but it'll give you an idea anyway. And there's lots of interesting stuff to read as well. So www.avoidprobate.ca. Jason, you were continuing with you left us hooked.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Ted. Okay, so I was explaining about this awesome value-added benefit of investing with the insurance company instead of the bank by way of having this death benefit guarantee that lets you sleep at night because your capital is 100% guaranteed. The flip side I mentioned, which is even better, you know, I use the example of $1 million turning into 900 grand. Well, let's turn that around. And that's exactly what's happened, by the way. We just had, the mid-year, June 30th, mid-year statements are going out. Clients are going to be really happy to see these statements. The Dow Jones is up 15%. The NASDAQ is up 30+%. Our number one fund, the U.S. Equity fund that we like to refer people to, 32% year to date. So that's good. That's what we like to see. That's what we want to see. We want to grow your money. And so this $1 million, let's just pretend the $1 million became 1.1 million. Which is only a 10% increase, but let's just use that for easy math. So the $100,000 of growth, our listeners, our clients are now able to lock in that growth. It's called a reset, and you can trigger a reset once a year at your discretion, anytime you want. There's no special rules or holidays or guidelines. Whenever you think it's the right time to lock in growth, and you would only do it if you had growth. No one's going to lock in losses, so we can lock in the growth. And I'm throwing this out there right now to listeners who are our existing clients. It would normally be a bit early in the year to do this, but if you think you want to lock in your gains so far year to date, I don't think that's a mistake, because like I said, it's been a great start to the year. And remember, this is coming on the back of a not so good investment year. 2022 markets globally were down, and a lot of people saw negative numbers, including some of our clients. But when I got those calls last year from some of our nervous clients, I just reminded them of the death benefit guarantee. I said, don't worry, you have a 100% death benefit guarantee. Anyway, most of that money has recovered in 2023. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about. We've seen great returns so far this year. So if you're looking at some good returns on your investment, in my example, the extra 100 grand that you've now seen on your $1 million, when we reset that creates a new floor, and that now becomes the new minimum that pays out to your beneficiaries. So if it drops below that, to any amount below that, 1.1 million is now what gets paid out. So you can do that every year. So right. Before last year, before 2022, we had 10 years of growth. So people who took advantage of this reset for the last 10 years, their $1 million, who knows, it could be worth $3 million notionally on the account, because they kept locking in gains, gain after gain after gain after gain, locking it in and making sure that becomes the new floor that their beneficiaries receive. It's amazing. But
then just like investing in the stock market, though, it's all about timing, right? You got to decide, okay, my million that I put in is now 1.2 million. So now I'm going to lock it in because you can only lock it in once a year.
Right.
Now, if that 1.2 goes up to 1.5, you can't relock.
You can't until the new calendar year. So it's, that's a really good point, Ted. It's not a 365-day thing. It's a calendar year thing. So if you locked it in, you know, today being July 9th, thank you. If you locked it in on July 9th, I mean, it's a Sunday. It's not going to happen on July 9th, but whatever. You could lock it in again on January 1, right? Because it's a new calendar year. That's the point I wanted to make. You don't have to wait through. So you're right. And that could very well happen. That's why I said it's a bit early to be locking in, but it's not a bad idea because there's been such good growth year to date. And if we continue to see good growth for the rest of the year, we're going to lock it in again as soon as the calendar flips at the end of this year, another 6 months away. So the reason I wanted to talk about this story is because we've seen this. We process a lot of death claims. That sounds bad, but it's not bad. That's why we're here. Remember, we're here to help you avoid the probate nightmare, and probate is only a thing at death. So it is what it is. That's the nature of the business. Obviously, you know, none of us are going to be here forever, but we want to try to make that passing as smooth as possible for our loved ones. And we can do that. You know, call us. We can do it on the money that's at the bank. We want to move that, and we can do it on the house and the cottage as well. There's a different way to do it. We'll explain it to you at that consultation. We are seeing a situation, like I said, we've seen a lot. We process lots of death claims. They've all been positive. All the clients have passed away with more money invested with us than they started with. And that's great. That's the goal. Except in this last case, is one particular case, the gentleman became a client late in 2021. And as I said, 2022 was not a good year for the markets. And that's the year he passed away. We're just processing the claim now. Doesn't matter. I won't get into the reasons why, but his portfolio was down, and it was down a good chunk of money because he invested a lot of money. It was over $1 million that we started with. So his portfolio was down just over six figures. And that's, I don't want that to sound scary, because once we've done the transfer, we have portfolios for everybody. If you're a conservative investor, we can make it a conservative portfolio. We can take it anywhere it needs to go. We make it suitable to you. And like I said, every situation is different. But in this case, his beneficiaries are going to benefit from this top up. And his portfolio is getting topped up to the full amount. And the insurance company is putting their hand in their pocket and topping it up over $100,000 to make it right, to make sure that his beneficiaries get the full amount that he invested with the insurance company. That's definitely not something the bank's going to do. You want to talk about the cost of probate? Boom. You know, that's a $100,000 bonus. And that's the story I wanted to tell. It's the first time we're processing a death claim that was, we call it underwater, but we're taking advantage of that amazing death benefit guarantee.
Yeah.
And that's the point I wanted to stress today, because it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And it's not $20, it's not $20,000, it's over $100,000 bump that his beneficiaries are getting. And that's a win-win in my book. And it's not getting probated, of course. That's the story. Okay, Ted, we're going to wrap it up here. We're getting close to the end of the day here on the Avoid Probate Show. I want to give you a minute. What's going on with the latest podcast, Ted?
Peter Callahan, this is a Canadian actor who's been around for a long time. He has been nominated for a Gemini Award 18 times. He is five-time winner for in the Best Performance category. Some people will remember him from his character Ranger Gord on the Red Green Show. Currently, he can be seen as a reoccurring character on Murdoch Mysteries as Terrence Myers. He was in such shows as Made in Canada, The Newsroom. He's been on Air Force. He's been on Seinfeld. In fact, he tells a story about appearing on Seinfeld and how they asked him to come back, and because of visa, it was just it's heartbreaking how it didn't work out. But he's married to Leah Pinsent, who is a terrific actress whose father is the late Gordon Pinsent, who just passed away. And he tells a story about taking Gordon Pinson out for a haircut and for lunch that I'd like to share with you, but I can't share with you, but you've got to hear the story.
It's a family show, Ted.
Exactly. But you can listen to it on my podcast, which is available www.tedwoloshyn.ca. And we'll also remind you that if you have a group that you would like to invite to, let me put that in English. If you're part of a group that would like to have the road show come to your church or to your organization, to your lunch, whatever it may be, and do this program live, a version of this program live, please contact us because we're taking bookings right now.
We are indeed. Got to wrap it up. Thanks again. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. Thanks to Debbie Stanley. Thanks to Owen, who stepped in. Kelly was away today. Owen took care of us from behind the glass and made us sound better than we should have. Thanks, Owen, for stepping in there. Pleasure working with you. We'll do it again next Sunday. Thanks to Ted Walshin for his decades of radio excellence. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.